Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, listeners, and welcome along to episode 82 of Ready Player 2. We have for you today an incredibly scary array of podcast hosts. Not necessarily because it's nearly Halloween, just because we're all a little bit freaky. We haven't got Ross with us today, but we have got everybody else. So I'm Rich. I am Dracula of the podcast. Mostly because I will drain all the fun, excitement, and joy out of it, because I will talk an awful lot. We also have with us, what?
I was going to say, is that not Lee?
No,
you're
Sully. No. I've got interest.
You're Dracula because you suck.
No. I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. From the monster, from his slab began to rise. And it was Lee. Say hi, Lee.
Hello. I don't know what to think right now.
Is he not a mummy because he's ancient?
No. He was doing the mash, though. He did the monster mash.
I did the monster mash. I was there when
we also have the mistress of evil. She who shall not be named. Mr. Lewis Knight.
I haven't got any witty comments to that.
I'm just being entertained. This is great. Just keep going.
And from beyond the realms of Mordor, we had to bring the actual person who plays spoopy games and can stomach them, Miss L.
The eerily eldritch L.
That would have been way better. I wish I'd have said that now.
Welcoming the call of Cathal.
See? The woman's so scary that if you add a few letters, her name becomes Hell. Help. Or let me go. I want to leave this basement now. We've got a slightly spoopy episode for you today. Now, other than Elle, because I would imagine that she's probably played a couple of spoopy games of recent, have any of us played anything spoopier than the Hello Neighbor multiplayer game that we've got recently?
I'm trying to think.
Graveyard Keeper? That's not exactly spoopy.
No. Does Dark Souls count? That was scary for other reasons.
I did.
Dark Souls is just an infuriation simulator.
Souls was only scary because it's like self-harm. Yeah. And also because I watched the gradual and definite demise of Lee's sanity.
Made me mad.
Live on stream.
It didn't last very long. It wasn't very gradual. It was quite sudden, actually.
He rage quit. Oh, the whole internet was gone. Look, what we're going to do this podcast is, rather than talk about games that we played, because we could have gone off and played some spooky games, but I'm not sure that the majority of our hearts could have taken it. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about spooky games of yesteryear and spooky games that we wish would come out and spooky games that are coming out soon. Anything spooky that sticks with the theme. Are we right? Are we all right with that?
Yeah.
I did not realise that that was a plan, but yes, let's go for it.
A plan.
I'm happy to adjust the plan. In fact, that's the plan as of right now. In about 20 minutes' time, the plan will be something else.
Mm-hmm. Happy days.
Right. Now, the big thing, the one thing that we've got to talk about, and the problem is, it's going to be really tricky, but does everybody have one game, one spooky game that they want to talk about, they want to say something about? It doesn't have to be amazing. It doesn't have to be the best spooky game you've ever played. It doesn't even have to be particularly really spooky. But a horror game that's stuck in your mind. I've got one. I've got a couple, actually, but I've definitely got one. And it's one that I really wish would be remade.
Yeah, I've got at least one, but it's not because necessarily because of the game. It's because of the kind of events surrounding or the events after the game.
Oh, was there a murder?
A murder?
A murder? Oh, my word. Right, look, Elle probably has 45.
I'm heavy breathing right now.
I'm heavy Right, I'm not going to start with Elle because that would be way obvs. I want to start with Lewis, is that all right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
So, mine... Cast your minds back to the year that I'm quickly looking up that Silent Hill
came out. Do you want me to do a
harp
out? Noise?
Yeah, cast your mind back to 2006. Oh, wait, that's a film.
I was going to say. It was before that.
Oh, no, you're going to say the same one as me.
Cast your mind back to 1999.
Oh, God, that sounds better.
Life was better. We were the edge. We were on the precipice of the Y2K virus.
Changed the world.
The 31st of January, but never mind. Anyway, I was however old. Myself and some friends, we rented a copy of Silent Hill.
I think we may have to explain this. Kids, for those of you who aren't fully aware of this phenomenon within gaming and TV shows, there used to be actual brick-and-mortar places, physical locations outside of your house that you could go and pick up a physical copy of a game and then play it for 7 days and then take it back. It was incredible. It was so incredible and so world-changing, in fact, that basically everywhere that did it went bump a few years later.
Pretty much. Anyway, I rented this copy of Silent Hill with my mates. We all chipped in for it. We all had a sleepover. So we all switched the light off, had the TV on the floor. We were all laying there. And I don't know if anyone remembers, there is a scene in... Or there is a portion in Silent Hill where you're moseying around the school and you go into one of the toilets.
Yeah. Everybody remembers the first time they were in the toilets at school, Lewis.
And one of my friends said, "Oh my God, this is where a giant turd monster comes out and gets you." Those were almost his exact words. Almost immediately afterwards, one of my other friends, Keith, I will never ever forget this for as long as I live, Keith let out the loudest, most almighty fart you have ever heard, and we all nearly shat ourselves. There was nearly a turd monster in that bedroom.
Oh my God.
And then we played the rest of the game with the lights on.
And the windows open.
Yeah, and the windows
fully
open.
Aerated. Needed to get a through draft.
Honestly, I mean, I've played horror games since. I've played not a lot, but I have played the odd horror game since. And it's not even about the game. Just that one moment will forever stick with me. Just because I will forever remember Silent Hill in a fond fashion.
In a fond, yet slightly odorous light.
Happy days.
The thing is, with the first Silent Hill, you needed a couple of kind of excitable bits to keep you going, because it was quite slow-paced and considered.
Yeah.
I really, really liked the first Silent Hill game. Like, really, really liked it. But I went back to it probably 5 or 6 years later, and it did not age like a fine wine.
No.
It had definitely aged like milk. It had amazing dialogue in it where they clearly had two people in completely separate rooms with, I'm relatively sure, completely different versions of the script, recording their lines of dialogue with no relation to or interaction with the other person. So with these really awkward, stilted pauses between one person talking and the next person talking.
Yeah.
And it was just bad. Bad. But it was still an amazing game.
Oh, absolutely. I have tried to go back and play it on the Vita of all consoles, But it doesn't hold up well.
No.
At all.
That's a good story, though. I like stories about games, those little memories that you have of games that don't actually really have very much to do with the game at all.
Mm,
it's just something that sticks with you from playing it.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
And to be honest, there's probably only maybe one or two other kind of anecdotes that I can think of about games that have stuck with me so vividly. But most of them aren't even recent games. They're all from childhood. So,
yeah, they're the ones that stick with you, aren't they?
Yeah, and that one is the prime one.
It's because a lot of them from back then were new experiences. I find it really difficult now because almost everything feels like it's a rehashed version of something we've had before.
Mm.
And it might be new and fantastic to the newer generation of gamers that didn't experience those games from before.
Yeah.
But when you've lived through it a little while, it's difficult not to be a little bit jaded with new things that are coming out. That being said, there's a few games coming out soon that I'm excited about. That is getting old.
Yeah, that is.
In a nutshell.
That is age.
Talking about age, Lee. Do you have a memory of a horror or spoopy game?
I do, but
it doesn't have to be that spoopy, and it doesn't have to involve flatulence of any kind.
I'm tonight's marshmallow, so
okay.
Just right. So my game was played. I think it was either 1995 or 1996. It came out in 1995. It was a PlayStation 1 game. And I'd only just not long moved into the house that I'm living in now, as a young family, and I set up my old CRT television in the kitchen in the dark, just put the telly on the side and a wooden chair in the middle of the kitchen, lights out, and I played Doom, which, you know, I've built that up. It doesn't sound that scary. But for the next week and a half, 2 weeks, I shit myself regularly. It sticks.
Was that your age? Life,
you need that kind of bowel movement, though, don't you?
No, this was...
That's the kind of thing that roughage just can't buy.
This is a few decades ago now.
So you were only in your 60s.
I still had some control over my faculties then. It wasn't helped by my wife regularly sneaking in behind me, and because I was playing with the sound up and the lights off, and she would sneak in and scare the bejesus out of me.
So this is Doom. This isn't Doom 2. This isn't Doom 3. This is not the 3D versions. This is Doom.
It's Doom 2 and Ultimate Doom mixed together. That was the Sony PlayStation version of it. In fact, this was a really good version. John Romero is quoted on the back cover of PlayStation version of Doom calling this the best Doom yet.
Wow.
I know.
Of both
John
the
Romero,
Dooms that he made.
Yeah.
That was the best
the
Doom
best one.
That he made.
it's the game that it's, you know, when this question was asked of me, what's the scariest game that you remember? This one just pops into my mind all the time. Even though I've played some VR stuff recently, that would most likely qualify as more scary, and I probably screamed a little bit more. But this one stuck with me all that time. But I'm not really. I am the marshmallow. I don't like playing games.
We've
scare
done a couple
me.
Of videos where I've put Lee into a scary game in VR.
Yeah, we were meant to take turns.
We've used Mixer, which has got like less than a second delay on the stream. So I've sat there on Skype watching him basically in real time keck himself, and it is one of the best things that I've ever done in my life.
Making me keck myself as well. That scream that you did.
Oh, I'm good at screaming.
So am I, actually.
I can't believe that your standout scary game of your entire generation was Doom.
I never played Silent Hill, or I just avoided them, or I saw them and didn't want to play them. That's the problem.
To be fair, I only played Silent Hill through peer pressure.
Oh my god, Silent Hill is so good.
Silent Hill is so good. Look,
it is good. At least it is genuinely scary, unlike Doom.
It was
genuinely scary. Not in the same sort of way, but it was dark. the game was really dark and...
In the same way that Mario Party might be scary.
Mario Party's scary for other reasons, because there's people in your house touching your things. right, look, I'm going to go to... I'm sorry, Alan. Is it all right if I come to you last? We're going to go around a couple of times.
Fine.
So we're going to... I've got a bunch, actually. I've got a bunch of creepy, not necessarily full-on scary games, but I've got a bunch. I'm going to talk about two. The first one, very quickly, is the one that made me punch myself in the face. And this is the only horror game...
Something we all wanted to do.
...ever done this, right? And this is actually relatively recent. Before I got a Vive, before I got a HTC Vive, I went to a VR party at a place I used to work, and a guy had brought his Vive with him, and we were all setting ourselves up in it, and I'd never properly been in one before, and he had really good Turtle Beach headphones, and he put them on my head, and everything was very immersive, and he put me in a game called Emily Wants to Play. I'd never played this game, and I'd never even seen this game before, and nobody really explained to me what the game was. However, there are two things that this game does exceptionally well. The first one is positional audio. For the first probably 10 minutes of the game, you see nothing, but you hear tiny little footsteps moving around in the periphery of your vision, and you're constantly wheeling around. After around about 10 minutes of gameplay, something grabs your face and it makes you punch the headset. And that's exactly what happened to me. Basically, I kept hearing all these noises and I kept turning around to try and catch what it was. And eventually I thought, you know what, it's not going to come at me until I turn the lights out. So I'm going to turn the lights out and kind of entice it to come get me. So I turned the lights out and then lost the light switch. And then I couldn't turn it back on again. So I ran back out into the room that I was in previously that had some light coming in through the window. And as I turned into the room, something grabbed my face. The lights all turned back on again, and I had this little creepy doll thing hanging off the headset, and my instinctive reaction was to swat it away. So this guy who had just strapped a £750 HTC Vive to my face, when it fell off, was not looking very happy with me. But in my defense, he could have put me in anything. It's his own stupid fault for putting me in that.
You have to be careful what you put people in.
I've stopped doing it now. Stopped doing it because I've had two broken controllers now and nearly a broken headset. I've still got one broken controller with people being too exuberant in VR, and the kit's so fucking expensive that you've got to be really, really careful. Mm. Look, there's another game that I wanted to choose as my standout game, and this wasn't that scary. It had moments. It was a little bit cerebral, more like Silent Hill rather than like jump scares, although it had a couple of jump scares as well. But the mechanisms in this game were so brilliant that it's stuck in my memory. Every single time somebody says to me, "What horror game would you have remade?" this is always the one that comes to mind, and it's Eternal Darkness.
Oh, yeah,
Did you guys ever play this? Oh, yeah. Lee wouldn't have done. So Eternal Darkness was a game on the GameCube. And it was a creepy game, very similar to it was almost Silent Hill / Resident Evil mixed together, but you played as various different people across different timelines, but it had a sanity meter.
Yeah.
And as things happened in the game, as well as your health bar, you've also got a sanity bar. And the more things that happen, the more bad choices that you make, or the more times you get hit by enemies and stuff like that, your person's sanity gradually goes down and down and down. And when it gets low, the game changes. Staircases will change and be upside down, or objects will just move around in the room that you're in. It's not actually going to hurt you, it's just fucking you up. And it keeps doing subtle little things, like you go to open a door and it slides ever so slightly further down the wall. And then at one point you'll be playing and the whole game will just crash. And you'll get like a crash screen and then a boot up logo, but it's the PlayStation boot up logo. And it's like, and it looks like it's booting a PlayStation, and it does loads of brilliant little touches like that all through the game that break the fourth wall and take you into something else entirely. And I absolutely loved it all the way through. The whole experience was amazing. It had a lot of problems and a lot of flaws, and as a scary game, it definitely wasn't the scariest, but it was so well done, so well crafted with the technology at the time that I always remember it, and it's something that I always. But you can't go back and play it. You can't go back and play it on the GameCube. It just does not stand the test of time well at all.
Yeah, agreed.
You've got to play that. Did you have a GameCube? Did you play that, Elle?
I did. Do you know what? The sanity meter is such a prolific thing these days in certain horror games.
Is it?
Yeah, because you've got things like Amnesia, where if you stay in the dark for too long, bad things will happen. Things get squiggly. I'm trying to remember. Like, there's quite a few games now that use the "don't stay in the darkness"
mechanism.
Yeah, and make things a lot harder to see, or they warp your perception of the game itself. So that's something that has carried on throughout quite a couple of games. It's a really nice mechanic that people have kind of picked up on.
Did that stem from Eternal Darkness? Is that something that it started, or was it around before that?
For me, I think it's the first one that I actually experienced having this sanity meter. It's the standout one. Whether it actually is the one that started it, I'm unsure.
We're going to say that it is. And what we say is fucking fact. Fact. That's the end of it. Right, I'm a little bit afraid of doing this, and I've held it off as long as I possibly could. But we've spoken about our slightly shonky and really not very scary games. L, I know this might be a bit tricky, but if you could pick one standout experience, just one, if you can, a couple if you need to, I did a couple, so it's not cheating.
Okay.
Just, if you can, just one standout experience from a scary game. It can be like Lewis's fart story, it could be like Lee's not scary game that he's pretending was scary so that he could be on the podcast, or it could be like my actually genuine one. Actually, Lewis's was genuine, so that's okay. It's only Lee that's rubbish. what have you got for us?
Oh, there are so many. So I would love to choose Silent Hill 2, but it's Silent Hill 3 that resonated the most with me when I was a kid.
When I was a kid, when I was age appropriate for playing this game.
Look, I love scary games. I used to read a lot of Dean Koontz novels, and one of the things that makes
Dean
me feel uncomfortable.
Dean Koontz.
Oh.
He's like a poor man Stephen King.
Yeah. basically.
He's a bit more broken than Stephen King.
I'd love to choose Silent Hill 2, but Silent Hill 3 is the one that stands out for me because birth as a concept makes me feel uncomfortable. I would just blame aliens, but it's not quite that actually has made me feel uncomfortable with the concept of birth. Silent Hill 3 has this really creepy kind of moment in it where... it has two standout moments for me. We'll get to the bathroom in a bit, but everyone loves a spoopy bathroom. There's this bit where you're supposed to be, pregnant with this dark god thing, and you, hawk it up, you vomit it up. It is one of these moments where I'm like, do you know what? Being pregnant, not worth it, man.
You know that's not how actually works. How pregnancy
that,
works.
No. That's not how
for
it
normal
works.
People.
But well,
we'll send you links.
I know how birth works, but that whole concept of something growing in you and you can't actually get it out. That is fucking insane.
I mean, you have just described pregnancy.
Yeah,
that basically is what it is.
That is what it is.
And me in the morning.
I don't know whether it'll be on YouTube. I'm unsure whether it will have aged well as a game. I've not gone back to play Silent Hill 3 in quite a while. You've got some really, really great bits in there. There's this surgeon guy who is mourning his daughter and is really obsessive about this doll. So you bring him the doll and the doll sinks into this pool of blood because he's slicing him to himself. And the doll comes back out and has a chow down on the dad. That is a great moment. I was sat there what? Wow. Children birthing, also scary. But there's a scene in the bathroom where you enter this bathroom and there's this proper floor-to-ceiling mirror so you can see everything. So you walk over and you're like, oh, it's just a mirror. Yeah, it's fine. Have a little bit of a potter around, three bathrooms, a basin sink. Fab, nothing in here. I guess I'll leave. So you go to leave and the door is locked. And you start taking damage as you're stood there trying the door again. Because you're like, well, I've just come in here and there's no other doors here. It forces you to watch that mirror where your reflection and everything in it slowly becomes covered in blood. And it's not like, oh, this is something that is fine The blood starts coming down from the walls and goes into the sink on the mirror side. And then it starts coming out of the sink on your side. And I have never been so creeped out by just a visual representation of blood doing a travel. just doing a casual travel. It's such an amazing moment. Like, that, it was such a standout, really vivid experience for me when I was a wee bairn. So, yeah, Silent Hill 3, you know, good job.
I wouldn't weird have little slept bits. For a decade.
Oh, no, good grief. There are weird little bits in certain games where I'm pretty sure that the people who made the games didn't... They probably thought to themselves, oh, this would be a bit creepy. And then they probably didn't realise how much it was going to resonate with the people that were playing it. I had a similar thing where I had never before, and it's used in loads of films and it's used in loads of horror-y things, but children's music and children's nursery rhymes mixed with something creepy, yeah?
Dolls.
No, I was aware it was a thing, yeah? I was conscious of it being a thing. But on the N64, there was a game called Shadow Man.
Yeah.
And in Shadow Man, there was an area called the Playground Asylum. And it is basically a weird, fucked up daycare centre inside a mental asylum. And the entire time, you've got this kind of twinkly children's music playing while, as you're moving through the, like, daycare areas, there's utterly fucked up things that are, like, spewing globules of horribleness everywhere. And you've got to slice your way through them. It wasn't a particularly creepy game, but God, that stuck with me. That it was just really, like, the twinkly tune while you're butchering these things was just, I came away from it thinking, I'm not okay. I don't feel all right anymore. We had a bit of an experience earlier, and this, we might not want to talk about this. Is this something we want to talk about, Lewis? The mild experience, mild? I don't know about mild. The experience that we had earlier that you guys were having a chat about afterwards and thinking that possibly this was the line that you had to draw in the sand?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to talk about that now? Or is that something we talk about later?
We can talk about it now and come back to it another time.
Okay. So, a thing happened earlier. This didn't bother me as much as I think it bothered you guys. For quite a long time, there has been a game that has been out that has been a favourite of YouTubers and Twitch streamers called Hello Neighbour. And this is it's a single-player game. It's supposed to be a creepy, horror-y game. It is kind of creepy, I guess, if you're quite young.
It's not a horror game. Not intended to be a horror game.
It is. No, it actually even calls itself a horror game.
Really?
Survival horror.
Even calls itself a horror game. So in the original game, you are... you're just a person. You're a kid who is broken into your neighbor's house because presumably you're a little shit. And then you get chased around the house by this AI neighbor who is this weird, creepy-looking Russian dude.
Right, okay.
And he follows you around the house.
Sorry, are you talking about Hello Neighbor?
I'm talking about Hello Neighbor at the moment.
And okay, so...
The thing that we played.
Right, okay. So Hello Neighbor, what happens is you're running down the street and you see your neighbor... you hit screaming coming from the house and you see your neighbor... hitting something and you want to break in to investigate what was going on. That's right. The gist of Hello Neighbor.
That's the gist of it. So in Hello Neighbor that everybody's been streaming for a really long time, you break into the neighbor's house, you're creeping around, and you've got to find a series of keys while there's this AI neighbor creeping around the house trying to find you, and you've got to block doors and get around the place and try and get into the basement. Anyway, they are just bringing out and they have just put into alpha a multiplayer version of this game called Secret Neighbor. And it's the same kind of principle, but there's six of you and it's online. Everybody joins the game, and one of you, unbeknownst to the rest of them, is the neighbor, in disguise as a kid. And all of the kids go off and split around the house, or team up, or stick together, or whatever they want to do, to try and find the keys to the basement in the various areas of the house. And the one kid, who's actually the neighbor in disguise, can turn into the neighbor whenever they want, and strangle one of the kids to death.
Jesus Christ!
Okay. So, if that isn't bad enough, if that is... Because the kid, like, literally, as the kid, you just see the neighbor's face because he's lifted the kid up to eye level, and your vision gradually gets darker and darker and darker until there's just, like, a pinpoint, and then there's a little greystone next to your name. So this bloke has just strangled a child to death. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, I would suggest from the voices that we heard when we were playing this earlier, because voice chat is always on in this game. You can turn it off, but by default, it's always on. It's not push to talk or anything. 90% of the people playing this game were kids. They were around 10.
The other 10% was you and I.
With us. Yeah, it was just us. And I think Lee and Lewis decided that there was a line to be drawn in the sand here where not only are you virtually strangling children, but you are also actually chasing and terrorizing actual children who are playing this game. And because you can hear them, if you are the neighbor and you pick, because it's only a 10, it's only ESRB 10, this game.
Wow.
So you know, literally, they might not even see that you're there. And suddenly they're staring at your face because you've just yanked them off the floor and picked them up and started throttling them. And you can hear them screaming on the other end of the microphone. Yeah.
It made
you two weren't so happy about this, were you?
It made me feel quite uncomfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was all right with it.
See, I didn't... Okay, so... To point out, I didn't actually experience this. This is just going off what Lee was saying. I did hear children... talking over the... Well, children in bunny ears... talking over the voice chat, but I didn't experience any of this firsthand.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I became the neighbor, because it's completely random. Mm-hmm. So I became the neighbor. And rather than chasing the kids down and killing them, what me and Lee decided to do was if we stuck together, so there was two of us, when the other kids saw us together, they'd think... Oh, well, one of them isn't the neighbour, because otherwise he would have killed the other one by now.
This is where I ignored the line and I just went started chasing children around the house.
Yeah, and he just went with it. He just went with it.
So even though I wasn't the neighbour.
As the neighbour, you've got like this contraption that allows you to see where the kids are in the house through the walls, like an x-ray thing. And you can also control certain secret doors and traps around the house by using it, because it's like a fully H.H. Holmes trapped house, right? And so you can set off these secret doors and stuff to control the kids and move them in a certain direction. So I was literally following them around, and as they were going into a room, I was closing the door behind them and then barring the door shut with a chair so they couldn't get out. And so they had absolutely no idea what was going on. And the one time I turned into the neighbor in front of one of the kids, because he had nowhere to go because I just locked him in a room with me, the blood-curdling scream... that came out of the poor bastard's mouth. I tried to strangle him. God damn it, I did try my best. But it's so difficult to concentrate. Slippery little bastard. It's so difficult to concentrate when they're screeching at you like that. I do sympathise with serial killers. Because it must be a hard job.
It's
a high stress job. But yeah, it's a bit odd. Playing with other adults, it would almost be nice if they could put an age bracket in there where you could choose the age range of the people that you wanted to play with, because it is a bit off-putting to be knowing that you're chasing around and strangling children, even though it's the reality that I want to live half the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much your life, but you don't really... Yeah, I don't know. I just don't... I wouldn't find it comfortable... running around chasing after digital children controlled by actual children.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yeah.
It's like a really shitty version of Dead by Daylight, which is like, you know, at least that has, I think it's got an appropriate age rating where you're not going to be chasing children.
Adult or Halloween. Or Halloween. Imagine that, right? So the new Halloween game where one of you gets to play as Jason and everybody else. If all of those people
Friday
were
the
kids,
13th.
Friday the 13th, that's it, sorry. If all of the people that Jason was chasing and then killing were kids, right, the gaming industry would have gone mental.
They're
everybody
teenagers
seems to be okay
though,
with
aren't
this.
They?
Yeah, I know, but they're not like 10.
No.
So I don't know. Anyway, look, I don't want to get caught up in the moral ins and outs of strangling children, because frankly I'm not on you know, on shaky ground as that comes. But yeah, it was just something that we played recently, and it's a bit weird. Like, it's horror it's an uncomfortable horror, but not because it's a horror game. It's uncomfortable because of the way that the game plays and the way that it is.
Yeah,
it had pumpkins in it, so we're on safe ground.
Yeah, it's not even because it's necessarily a scary horror game, or even because of the game itself. It's because of the player base and the situation that you're finding yourself in.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to play that game with just, you know, a guaranteed set of adults, and I'll be okay then.
I think it'd be kind of fun. If you had, like, four or five of you, and you were all playing it just together in, like, a locked lobby, I think it'd be really good fun.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a bit odd having all of the... Yeah. And I was trying to be really creepy, and I was... Because it's positional audio as well, you can creep around and make noises, and they'll hear you, and they'll hear the direction that your voice came from, too, depending if they've got good headphones or not. And so when I started, I was doing that, and I was shitting people up, and after a while I was starting to think, these kids ain't going to sleep tonight. What am I doing to these poor kids' parents are going to be having all kinds of problems.
And then
later,
you carried on doing it.
And then I carried on doing it. shouldn't be playing the game if they're going to get bloody scared. Right, I want to do another round. But before I do another round, Lee, have you got anything actual to bring to this?
Yes, of course I have.
Oh, come on, have you really?
Yeah.
Is it Pikmin?
No.
Because those little fuckers could be quite creepy.
No, of course it's not Pikmin. It's Kirby.
It's Kirby. Actually, if something was trying to suck me into his great big fat pink cheeks, that's a night out I don't want to repeat. Right, I'm going to go round in a slightly different direction. I want to go back past L. I'm going to double back, because I know that L's got more that she wants to talk about. Is that all right with everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to circle back. I want to ask you a different question. So... The first time I said, look, what's the thing that stands out in your mind? And you did say something that was pretty creepy, a couple of things that were pretty creepy. What is stand out the scariest moment that you've ever had in a game? The moment that almost made you go, not playing this anymore.
Okay. So, picture the scene. When I was in university, I had an attic room, sharing a house with a couple of people. Obviously, I'm going to be the creepy lady living in the attic. The boiler was there. It was an old boiler, so it used to rumble and, you know, make creepy sounds at whatever time it really wanted. And I was sat in my attic room, 3 o'clock in the morning, playing a game called Amnesia.
Oh my God, this is the first time you played it.
Yeah. And I had my headphones in, all, you know, had my bedside light on, everything was fine. There's a bit where there is a creature thing in the water, right? And I have already told everyone how uncomfortable things in the water make me. I'm pretty bad with fish. Fish is like one of the only things that, you know, puts me off. So I'm there jumping from crate to crate, like, oh, fuck's sake, like, this is really fucking with me. So mid, you know, on the crate, dealing with this creepy ass thing that's zooming around in the water, everything goes black. My partner had decided it was a hilarious time to flip the fuse, drain all the power to the house, and creep up the stairs and give me the fright of my life.
My God.
That is the scariest moment I've had, because I was about ready to put someone in hospital. I had my bamboo rattan stick ready to go. I was like, I ain't dying today!
I'm taking you with me, motherfucker.
I was ready. I was ready for that zombie apocalypse.
Oh, Jesus. If anybody ever did that to me, they would not live to see the light of day.
I mean, it was almost like that. He came up the stairs, and I was like, well, he had, like, long hair. So it was almost like, you know, Ringu. So he was going to die. But thankfully, he put up his hands and was like, no, okay, yeah, we can stop now.
Yeah, he thought you were armed.
You thought that this bitch was going to go quietly. You're fucking wrong.
I will not go quietly into this good night.
So yeah, that was my scariest moment.
See, a lot of the really scary experiences in games seem to be situational and not actually necessarily related to the game itself.
Yeah.
All right, okay. I'm going to go round the horn. I'm going to go back to Lee. And good God, seriously, step it up.
Well, so Minecraft's not going to count then?
No.
No. Okay, I was going to avoid VR, but I'm going to have to come back to it. And it's not one that I've spoken about before, but I know that you have. And I have to admit, I didn't play it for too long because my memories of this are sketchy, to say the least. Because it scared me quite a lot in VR. It also made me quite ill. So there were, you know, the double reasons of not wanting to play it again because of the smell and the sick. It was overpowering, and it was overpowering, the not wanting me to play it again. Anyway, Alien Isolation is...
In VR?
In VR, yeah. A long time ago, I played this... I'm struggling to remember whether it was when I had a DK2, an Oculus DK2, or the first few months of having a Vive. I think it was in the Vive. It's a controller only game, so no room scale. You sit down and you use a controller, but you are in the game. And you basically play the game from within that person's eyes. That fucking alien is that looking at you through the vents in that locker. It really was the first time that I fully felt shit scared in VR. I mean, not the first time I've felt shit scared, because as we've discussed, I've already played Doom.
Because he's played Pikmin.
Yeah.
Did you get past the first half hour?
I didn't get past the locker.
Okay.
The first half an hour. No, I
didn't get past the first half a yard.
I made it through the first level, but... The problem with that game was it was not designed for VR. There was a lot of head bob in it, and it really was a puke inducer. So yeah, there was only so much I could take.
Back in the days, they hadn't quite got the whole VR with the controller thing right, and it's still not quite right.
No, not quite.
Okay, that's an actual horror game. I'm proud of you. I mean, not that proud of you because you only played it for 45 seconds, but a little bit proud of you.
I qualified.
All right, Lewis. Do you have any... You can talk about whatever you want. If you've got a standout scary moment that made you nope the fuck out, then that'd be great. If you don't, then any horror game you want to talk about.
So it's more of a more recent one, because I know that we started off talking about all the games. But yeah, this is a more recent one. So this is the Resident Evil 7 demo.
Oh, yeah.
So not PT... The actual Resident Evil 7 demo when I think they announced it at E3.
Welcome to the family, son.
So I played that for approximately 12 minutes.
Oh, Lewis, I'm so proud.
And as soon as it got a little bit scary, I switched it off. I was like, nope.
It's such a good game.
So the... For anyone that hadn't played the demo, you're moseying around this house. I got upstairs, and then I heard something. You go into a room full of mannequins, which is fucking terrifying enough. But one of the mannequins fell over. I turned round, and then I saw something walk past the door, and I was like, nope, that's enough for me. And then turned it off. Done. That is literally it.
I'm normally not a big fan of the Resident Evil series because I'm such a big Silent Hill fangirl.
Mm-hmm.
But Resident Evil 7 was so reminiscent of Silent Hill 2, I could not help but love that game. It is such a good game. Up until
I
the point...
I bought and paid for this game. Like a fucking idiot.
Oh, Rich, did you not like it?
The game was okay.
I watched
the feeling
play it,
that it gave me was not excellent.
Yeah. It was so funny watching him play.
It's the wife.
I streamed this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Rich. When she comes up those stairs, it's such a good moment. I was like,
the girlfriend.
Man. Yeah, when she's like coming up the stairs and you're like, I'm seriously going to have to kill you. You are some possessed son of a bitch.
It's when she chopped my hand off. I was just like, that's fucking it, love. That's me. We are over.
We're done.
We are
There's
done.
There's no counselling that can bridge this rift between us.
I thought you were talking about the wife's situation where many years ago when we did a week of horror, which...
Oh my god. I was literally just about to bring this up because this is probably my all-time favourite moment.
Still makes me laugh now.
Many moons ago when we did a week of horror... And we all agreed that we were going to play some spooky games. So stupidly, I went out and found a bunch of indie games. And I recorded them all with face cam on. With me recording them in the dark. And I played a bunch of games. And a few of them were quite scary. And I played one called Lone Survivor, which is a 2D side-scrolling horror game. It's quite creepy, actually, in quite a few places. But Jesus Christ, if my wife did not jump out from behind my monitor at literally the worst fucking moment... I nearly swallowed my entire larynx and the microphone.
I hope you fall over and graze your face.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's the worst.
Yeah,
phrase.
I shouted at her. I hope you fall over and graze your face. Yeah, that was Lone Survivor. All of those videos, actually, are on our YouTube channel if you want to go back and watch any of them. Right, okay, we've done a round. I want to talk about a couple of games, actually, and bring them up. Just because these are horror games that have stirred out for me. Or for one reason or another, not necessarily because they're great, but for one reason or another, and to catch a couple of your reactions. Now, you two may not have played these, but I'm pretty sure that Elle would have played a lot of them, and I just want to gauge her reaction. Alan Wake, did you ever play this? Absolute bag of toss this game was.
Paper Chasing Simulator.
Did you play this, Elle?
I did, but it didn't grab me enough. If you know
because
what I mean.
Because it was shit.
It really did feel really, like, self-indulgent,
It was like they were going for the fucking Oscar with all of the pros and bollocks that they put in. It was like somebody who was a failed author and had decided to put all the really clever things that nobody ever gave a shit about that he'd written that nobody read into this game, and it just came across as really obtuse and annoying and up itself. And then on top of that, the gameplay was bollocks. Just trying to torture them. Just trying to fucking torture them. And I have never known a torch to run out of batteries this fast in my entire fucking life.
Yeah, I didn't find it scary.
Okay. Right, we're going to flick to another one. And tell me, again, you two, tell me if you've played this. Until Dawn.
No.
Ooh. Okay. This one's going to be really contentious, actually.
Well, I'm not sure. Right, so if you two are going to play a horror game, and I don't think that Lewis can do this, but Lee can.
Yeah, this is one I keep meaning to pick up because I think my wife would like it.
Until Dawn is not necessarily a horror... I wouldn't call it a horror game.
It's like a David Cage game.
Mm.
It's like Scream. Do you remember the Scream films? Yeah. Or the kind of... I Know What You Did Last Summer. That kind of era of films. It's like that in a game, but with surprisingly good acting and good writing.
Yeah.
It came across really well. I really liked it.
I think this would be a really good game to sit down with a bunch of friends, drunk, and play together.
That's exactly what we did.
Like,
that's exactly how we played it.
Such a popcorn horror game.
Yeah, it's like watching a movie with friends, but you're playing it.
And I think, I know people might have difficulty with enjoying like these interactive story kind of games, because that's what this is. This is an interactive story. But I don't know, like, I quite like horror movies and I like horror games. So it's something which is in between, which is kind of nice. Because the thing with horror games that has over movies is you've got the stress of choice.
Yeah.
And there are these pinnacle moments in this game where you're like, holy shit, I have no clue what to do.
And your choice will inevitably get somebody killed.
Yeah.
It was good. It was a good game. Did you know that they made a PlayStation VR spin-off?
Hospital, the one where
it was called Rush of Blood. It was called Until Dawn, A Rush of Blood. Oh. And it was a PlayStation, I'm pretty sure it was PlayStation VR, but you have basically PlayStation Move controllers, and it's a shooter, it's an on-rail shooter that was in the Until Dawn universe for some bonkers reason that I never particularly understood. Right, look, there's a couple of other games that I want to just bring up, but we don't have to do that right now. We can talk about other bits. Does anybody else have a game that they want to bring up or a story that they want to tell about horror games?
Nope. Yes.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
Is System Shock and System Shock 2 a horror game?
No.
Do you know what? Well, I'd say kind of yes.
So it kind all depends. Of. Yeah, it all depends how you're going to look at it, because it is a survival game. It has these psychological elements to it.
So what I'm hearing El say is, it all depends on how much of a big crybaby you are.
So yes, then.
So yes, if you're Lee, yes. 100%.
There we go, there's two more that I played. So carry on.
I thought Bioshock was actually scarier. If you're talking about scariness in those kind of games, well, Bioshock was so good.
Bioshock is amazing. I freaking love the cosmetic surgeon who has gone insane.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that bit? Like that bit has stuck with me, where he's like, "Oh, they're not pretty enough." It's like, holy shit, dude, you need to take a chill pill.
You got some fucking issues. No, he doesn't need to take any more pills. The pills were the problem. I feel in the first place. Lewis, have you got any other games that you want to bring up?
No, I'm a wuss, to be honest. Probably more of a wuss than Lee, but I just wouldn't openly admit it.
You just hold it better.
Yeah.
You carry it off better.
My bowels still have some tautness to them.
Yeah.
I still have a taut anus.
I have a lack of control.
Life achievement. So, there was a game from a long time ago, and people might not think that these were particularly scary. However, the first game I thought was really, really quite scary and did shit me up quite a bit for a couple of reasons. It's firstly because there aren't that many first-person horror games. A lot of them are third-person over the shoulder or whatever it is. But there are not, or at least at the time, there were not that many first-person horror games. The first one of these games scared the living fucking bejeebus out of me. Mostly because A, it was scary, and B, it was about a scary child. So fear.
Okay.
Fear, and it was a shooter, so you know, not that scary, but God, it had some fucking moments. Good grief, it had some moments in it. But the biggest boon in this entire series, did anybody ever play Fear 3?
I don't think I've played the third one, no.
So Fear 3 was one of those games back in the era, this was at a point in time when they were trying to make exclusively co-op games that were designed to be played cooperatively, not necessarily designed to be played on their own. So me and Ross got this, and we played all the way through Fear 3, co-op, and it was fucking amazing. It was absolutely brilliant. It had very scary bits in it, interspersed with really cool action bits in it. And if you played the first game, there's two people in the first game. There's the main guy that you actually play, and there's the evil bastard who is being manipulated by Alma, and who is killing everybody, who turns out to be your brother. In Fear 3, you play as both of those people. So one of you is a gung-ho, shooty-shooty-bang-bang, blow-people's-face-off person, and the other one is dead. Because you kill him in the first game.
So you're a ghost.
So you're a ghost. So the only way that you can inflict damage on people is by possessing them. So the first player gets kind of cool stop time mechanics and stuff like that, where they get to shoot people. The second player has to possess people through walls or windows or security cameras and things like that in order to open doors and allow the other person through, or to just fuck people up and kill people. So if you possess somebody that's got a great big gun, you can then use that great big gun to kill all of his mates and stuff like that. Then on top of that, you had all the fear element and Alma walking around and scaring everybody and all the rest of it. So good. So good. If anybody's up for a slightly aging but amazing horror shooter, Can't recommend it enough. Really, really good. Right. L. We're going to have to wrap this up really soon, but I feel like we need to end on an L moment, and I know that there's another one.
What would you like? I have many. There are some really off-the-wall ones. Okay. Some nice pixel indie ones.
Let's go as batshit as you can.
Well, hang on. Well, look, all right, I'm going to leave this up to dealer's choice, however.
Okay, sweet. Doki Doki Literature Club.
Oh, my
God. Oh, I just looked this up. I just literally read about this.
So, I am a fan of...
crazy batshit stuff?
Let's just say crazy batshit stuff. This was so off the wall. You literally have to play it. You have to play it. It's not scary. It is I say scary. It's not jump scary. It's more psychological horror. It's really like creepy, and I love that. I absolutely love that. Not to spoil it too much. Obviously, you have this very cutesy looking dating simulator skin that is what you kind of see when you purchase the game. It doesn't take long for it to get real, and it gets real, real fucking fast. I think the trigger warning that one should put on this is like suicide, so don't buy this game if that is going to upset you, because holy shit, I thought I was just playing a nice game, and then there's things happening? Holy crap, amazing. Well done.
This is a little bit disturbing, actually, because on the Steam page, it's just got loads of, let's face it, partially cladded Japanese schoolgirls, and it looks like a dating sim, and it's got really happy music in the video and all the rest of it. And then it says, the Literature Club is full of cute girls. Will you write your way into their heart? This game is not suitable for children or those who are easily disturbed. It's like the end of a radio advert. What the fuck?
It's, to be honest with you, I might stream this because it's so... you have to experience it. It's so interesting. That's one of the things that is so off the wall that I would like to, you know, bring to the party.
Okay. This is free on Steam at the moment.
What?
So...
go for it.
I'm in for this.
I'm not.
And I really want to say another one. It's really, really short, but it's really good. It's free. It's a kind of retro indie horror game about like Hollywood-esque exorcisms. It's called Faith.
Right.
Really pixely. You are this what do you call them? Like the father person.
Dad?
A priest.
A priest, there you go. You're a priest.
Father person.
A father. Well, you call them a father, don't you? You are this priest and you need to make your way through these woods to this house where you or like one of your fellow priests failed to exorcise this little girl. It has a brilliant moment where a demon comes out of her face. It is good. It is so good for a free game.
I'm really worried because what you class as good, the rest of us class as life-changing.
Oh, come on, it's only pixels.
Right, look, I was going to end on this and I'm really worried now, but you could pick a couple of those. If there was one game that is either affordable or free, that is available on platforms that we have access to, that you could ask all of us to play and then come back and report on at some point / stream it, what would that one game be?
Can I report from beyond the grave? Because it'll probably kill me.
Oh, wow. That's such a difficult
choice. Lee's been auspiciously quiet here.
I have actually got a heart condition.
Oh god, that's true actually. Like a genuine actual medical heart condition. Oh, this should be hilarious.
Yeah, I will stream it.
Oh no. I don't know. I think this is something that I'd need to actually go away and ruminate upon and then provide to you.
I wanted a snap judgment. I didn't want you to actually put loads of thought in it. Like, I don't want us to actually die.
So if I wanted you all to play a horror game, what would I get you to play?
Yeah.
So, I would always say, if I had to choose one game to make people play, is Silent Hill 2, just because it's the one game that got me into psychological horror. The whole concept of someone being like going through and combating their own pseudo-sexual crises was just phenomenal for me, and it really formed like my favorite brand of horror. But that's on the PlayStation 2.
What you've essentially just said is this is the game that made you who you are.
Yeah.
Ever play this game. Like, if you value your mental health and ongoing well-being, it's not...
It's a great, great game.
There's a remastered high-def version for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360.
I've actually played Silent Hill 2, so I'm okay, but it's on you two to fulfil this wish now.
It's not got that many jumpy bits, Lee.
No. Do you know what? If I had to pick a Silent Hill to get them to play, it would probably be The Room.
Oh, no. That's... I don't know. There's a bit with a cat, which I'm always, like, a little bit...
The bit with the cat is wrong. The bit with the slippers I'm not particularly happy about. And the bit with the dolls maybe turned it off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all of that. Right, look, we're going to have to call it a day. What Elle's going to do is she's going to go off and she's going to put some proper thought into this. Now, I fully understand that people with heart conditions... or people who don't want to kill me for making them do it, probably won't play whatever Elle recommends. However, if it's affordable, and if it's something that I haven't already played on a platform that I have access to, I will play and I will stream this game. And if I absolutely have to, I will do it live so that Lee and Lewis can put kind of director's commentary on it.
Oh my God.
Absolutely.
Down with that.
Okay, I thought you might be. Mm-hmm. This is a way that you can get involved in playing a horror game without actually having to play the horror game. Do you see how kind I am to you?
I'm all up for actually driving all the way over to you in the middle of the night.
No, I don't want you anywhere near me.
Climbing over your garden wall and tapping on the window with a mask on.
Not going to happen. As with most things in life, Lee, I'm happy with you as long as you're not actually in my vicinity. Right. I'm going to call it a night now. I think that has been about enough spoopiness. We need to all go off and calm down a little bit and let the sweat dry. There's going to be loads of other games, loads of other spooky games. And do you know what? This is such a rich genre for computer games as well, because there are MMOs, there are weird text-based games, there are side-scrolling games. There are so many games that fit into the horror genre and actually do it really, really well. So, if you've got any favourite games, or if there are any games that you would like one of us, probably me, to play and stream, then let us know. Tweet us or tell us in our Discord or whatever you want to do, and over the course of Halloween and beyond, we will see if we can get to them. One of us will see if we can get to them, and we will see if we can put together either a Twitch stream or a YouTube video or something. Because I do kind of enjoy doing this kind of stuff. The only thing that I'm not particularly happy about is putting a face cam on, but I will do it for the purposes of this.
I'll do some spoopy games too.
Oh, yes.
Do you know what? I'm more than happy to try and play whatever spooky games I've got on my Xbox. So
nice.
And I will put on a camera as well.
Oh, this is going to go well. Okay.
All right. I've got to join in with the spirit of the thing. I will play virtual reality horror games with, with the Kinect camera on.
Oh, my God. That's it. That's us. Come at us, bro, with all of your horror games that you would like us to play stream. I'm sure that Elle is going to find some decent ones for us to have a crack at. If you want to see any of the videos that we have done previously about horror spoopy games, I've put a bunch up on our YouTube, which Lewis is going to very kindly put in the show notes. Also, there were a couple of experiences on Twitch, certainly one where me, Craig, and my wife Hannah played Outlast on the televisual box with a camera on top of it, and there is a particular moment in that where there is a collective sharting which might be interesting for people who want to watch us nearly dying. Right, look, that is it. That has been Ready Player 2, episode 82. As always, I am going to fail to round up where you can find us on the internet, so the best thing to do is go to our Twitter and look at the pinned tweet that is at the very top of our Twitter page, and it has got fantastic links there to all the places that you can find us on the internet. Alternatively, you can go to our website, Ready Player 2, that's TWO.co.uk. The majority of the places that you can find us are on there as well, as links either on the top or the right. And you'll be able to listen to all of the great podcasts that we've got there and on Acast, and also now through Spotify. So there's loads of places you can find us. We are streaming on Twitch all the time, so come find us on there. And also find us in our, I would say new, but newly open to the public Discord. And there's a bunch of people talking and playing games on there and chatting about all kinds of cool stuff. So, have I missed anything, Lewis?
Nope. Got everything.
Yeah!
Fucking nailed it.
Hit it all.
Apart from our Twitter, at ReadyP2.
Oh, at ReadyP2. Of course, that's how they need to find the pinned tweet. Okay, cool. You can find me at Zebwin, that's Z-E-B-W-E-N. I have been Rich, I have been your host. I'm going to go off and play some games and probably get myself killed of fright. Lee has been, and you can find him at...
I'm sweating profusely at the thought of having to play some of these games. At Z-Z-Lee-Z-Z.
And Lewis has been, you can find him at...
You can find me at Louis underscore Kong.
And Elle has been, you can find her at...
I've been jabbering excitedly about my favourite things. And you can find me... at Escaping IRL.
It's like your Christmas, isn't it?
It is.
Halloween. It's like Christmas for elves.
Yeah.
Right, look, that's been kind of fun. And actually, I've got a couple of games off that, and I've looked through a couple of lists from doing this and found a couple of horror games that I could actually go back and give a crack at. And a couple that I'm never going to touch ever again, like Dread Out. thank you very much for listening.
Oh, Dread Halls!
No.
No!
What?
Dreadholes!
No, stop, you can't just pipe up now.
Oh, I feel like...
It's too late, it's too fucking late. Podcast over, Lee. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. This has been Ready Player 2, episode 82, the Spoopy Halloween podcast. We will be back very shortly with episode 83 or some other number, but we're pretty scheduled at the moment and we kind of know what's going on. And we've got podcasts coming out all the fucking time, so make sure that you schedule and subscribe to us on whatever platform you like to listen to podcasts. Yeah, and actually it isn't we that is on the ball. It's definitely Lewis.
It's definitely Lewis.
I just turn up and talk a lot.
He's the engine.
Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. From all of us, good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.